Message from Starfleet Command, top priority.
You are listening to the Trek Ranks Podcast, a member of the Tricorder Transmissions Podcast Network. This is episode 155, featuring the top five Voyager vibes. Welcome, Star Trek fans. I'm Jim Morehouse, and I'm the host of the Trek Ranks Podcast. And tonight, we are getting down with some Star Trek vibes and a new series we're starting here on Trek Ranks. Tonight, we're doing our top five Voyager vibes, which is the first series we're tackling. We're just going to go into it. We're vibing. You know, I don't even know what a vibe is, but we're doing Voyager vibes, and we'll get it a little bit more into that after we introduce our guests. So let's do that now. We got two outstanding Star Trek guests on this show. First up, she's back for her 14th appearance on Trek Ranks, coming to us live from District 7 in the actual District of Columbia. It's our good friend Claire Little. Claire, welcome back.
Thank you. I can't believe it's been 14 episodes.
I know. I can't believe we've done 155 of these things.
Yeah.
Holy crap. And our second guest, we are thrilled to have him back for his second appearance on Trek Ranks. He was previously a part of our amazing show we did way back on episode 85, the top five cliffhangers. And on that show, we discovered just how big a Voyager fan he is. So when Voyager Vibes came up, I said, I got to get Mr. Vup himself on. Please welcome back to the show, genre acting legend from too many shows to list, Dominic Burgess. Welcome back, Dominic.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. Wow. I feel like I'm so honored to be in the hallowed halls of 155 episodes and 14 guest appearances by Claire.
Incredible. By the way, Claire is a big Supernatural fan, Dominic.
Well, then, the hell out of that deli donut, I gotta say.
Well, then I ate the hell out of about 14 donuts by the time we were done. I ate a lot of donuts that
Sadly,
day.
I stopped watching Supernatural around like season 10 or 11. And so someday I'll go back and so I'll catch that one because I heard it's pretty
good. Gosh, I don't even remember what season I did. Was it 13, 14?
Yeah.
15?
13.
It was like a Maltese Falcon send up.
Yeah. That's right.
That sounds
good.
Fantastic.
Memory.
All right. Okay, going to be a great show. Let's get into our Trek Ranks recalibration.
You can recalibrate the regulators now.
Will do.
Okay, the Trek Ranks charter has two clauses. One, we rank Trek so we can have a fun conversation about Star Trek. And two, the ranks don't matter. We just use them as our framework to have a deep dive conversation about all the things we love about Trek. And as the Vulcan Master likes to tell us each week,
infinite diversity.
In infinite combinations.
There are no wrong answers at Trek Ranks. The show is just about sharing all the things we love about Star Trek, and we love it all from TOS to TNG, straight through to Enterprise and the Kelvin timeline, and now Discovery, Picard, Strange New Worlds, Short Treks, Lower Decks, and Prodigy as well. It's all fair game here on the Trek Ranks podcast.
Black alert. Black alert.
And a reminder that this episode of Trek Ranks is current through 879 episodes of Star Trek, which is the Star Trek Picard Season 3 latest episode, The Bounty.
Hailing frequencies open.
Thank you, Mr. Worf. You can hail me directly on Twitter at Trek Ranks or at Enterprise Extra. And you can see our extensive rankings of all the Treks at TrekRanks.com. And don't forget to also call and leave us a message with your own picks at 609-512-LLAP. That's 609-512-5527. Okay, to wrap it up, Claire and Dominic, let everyone know how they can get a hold of you on subspace. Claire.
I am on Twitter, as long as it's still around, at isolinearchip with an underscore after the word.
Awesome. And Dom, how about you?
Yep, I'm at Twitter. I am, I think I'm Dominic Burgess on Twitter. And on Instagram, I'm Dominic Burgess 1 because someone beat me to that technological advancement when it first came out.
I love it. Everyone's still hanging in on Twitter. All right, we are ready to run a diagnostic cycle to get into today's show.
Computer, run a level 2 diagnostic.
So really quick, again, we're starting a 5-part series running through the vibes of each specific series. And tonight we're doing Voyager vibes, and we'll see how this works. I don't even know what that means. So, you know, after this, we'll do TOS, TNG, Deep Space Nine, Enterprise, but we're starting with Voyager vibes now. And maybe when we get through those, we'll even do some disco vibes and do some of the new series. We'll see. So I said this earlier, what makes Voyager Voyager? That's kind of what we're looking for with a vibe. or literal, if you look up the definition of vibe, is the atmosphere of a place as communicated to and felt by others. So this could be something super broad or maybe super narrow and specific in the picks. We'll see how everybody kind of broke it down. So let's do that now. Let's get into our prime directives and see how everybody defined a vibe.
Do they know about prime directive?
They know everything I know, sir.
Okay, Claire, let's start with you. How did you come up with your list and kind of break down a Voyager vibe to narrow down your picks?
So I wanted to keep it to vibes that I felt represented the show as a whole, not just like a cool vibe that happens to be on Voyager.
Right.
And also for me, I feel like Voyager kind of has this like nerds hanging out in the chemistry room at lunch feel to it. There's like a real earnestness and sincerity to Voyager. As I don't know, I feel like even with dark eps like Year of Hell, something kind of sweet about Voyager. I think you'll see that in my choices.
I like that. A bunch of cool kids hanging out in the chemistry lab. Dom, how about you? How did you try to tackle this weird topic?
I ran the whole gambit of little things that I like and then big things that I'm like, yeah, right, I'm on board with this. And I have to preface, Voyager is my favorite of the Star Trek shows because I watched it from pilot to finale as it aired live. And so nothing that I say, it might sound like it's like a negative, but nothing I say is a negative because I love it all.
I love it. Yeah, that's, I get that. So yeah, I was the same. I had some big, broad topics that I was thinking is a really good vibe, and then some really targeted, like narrow, specific picks. So yeah, it's kind of standard for me. I went through a long list and then eventually just kind of picked my five that I wanted to do. And I have a little bit of a mix. So there's some big ones and there's some really weird specific ones. So a few deep cuts as well. So I think we're going to cover a lot of Voyager territory on this one. Let's see how everybody is vibing. Third Remoticlon, let's get to the order of things.
I am a Jem'Hadar. He is a Vorta. It is the order of things.
Thank you, Third Remoticlon. As always, everyone will start with their five-word summary and a hashtag to tease their pick. And then we'll each reveal our pick for our Voyager vibe and the reason we're highlighting it. And of course, everyone will pick an episode to associate with that pick. And after getting through five rounds, we'll get through a few secondary system selections for the picks that just missed our list. And if we have any duplicate picks, make sure you listen for the Defiant Torpedoes. Okay, Claire, we're going to start with you. What's your number five pick for your top five Voyager vibes? I want to get into this.
All right. My five words are, we're not on DS9 anymore. Hashtag new show, new vibe. I'm going with the corn on the cob in Caretaker.
Wait, what is the corn on the cob? Why am I not thinking of this?
The farm lady hands out some
corn. Oh, of course. The actual Caretaker. Oh my God, that is such a vibe. It is such a show-defining vibe that they go into the farm and the lady with the corn.
So I looked it up. The episode of Star Trek that aired the week prior to this one was Past Tense Part 2, so the Bell Riots on DS9.
Wow.
Is like, and then you go from that to this lady on a very bright sunny day on a farm handing corn on the cob to our new captain, and I just feel like it immediately sets a different tone. Like, Deep Space Nine is Deep Space Nine. This new show, this is Voyager. Like, we have a different tone.
Some nice fresh corn on the cob. Fresh corn on the cob. Corn on the cob. Corn on the cob.
Can you tell me why we're here?
Oh, we don't mean you any harm. I'm sorry if we put you out. Why don't you just put your feet up and get comfortable while you wait?
Wait for what?
Isn't anybody hungry? Come on now, make yourselves at home. I'm sorry if we put you out.
It's a little silly, but it's also, there's also some kind of high concept sci-fi going on with Caretaker. You know, it's intriguing, but also, yeah, it's a little, like this lady's giving them some corn.
I mean, you couldn't have a better vibe, first vibe pick. I mean, this, it is such a unique thing to Voyager. I feel like there's something else she served, right? Was there more food? What's
there a, might have been.
I'm trying to think of like what else they mentioned.
Stuck in my mind.
But. Oh my God. I love the caretaker cookout with everybody. Absolutely out of left field. Dominic, what's your take on that?
Oh, I love it. I love Caretaker so much. And isn't someone's playing a banjo?
Yeah.
And there's corn.
Right.
And then Tom Paris goes to check out the barn. And then there's the lady that's like, hey, you don't have to check out the barn.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a vibe.
And then it gets pretty creepy with them hanging there and the thing through their chest. Yeah. I think I was thinking of Banjo Man. I think that's where I was getting my wires crossed. Oh, my God. Okay. Caretaker. And the farm and the corn on the cob, brilliant first pick, Claire. I love it. And it's just right at the beginning, right? So it really does set the vibe. I love it. Okay, Dominic, what's your first Voyager vibe?
Okay, my five words are set a course for buns. Hashtag Janeway's bun of steel.
Oh my God.
I think that Janeway's hair is a vibe.
It is such a vibe.
Yes.
Like, if you took silhouettes of all the characters across Star Trek, you could immediately pick out Janeway from the bun.
Yeah.
Like, right away. And my favorite is in the later seasons, like in Relativity or Fury, anything where there's sort of some sort of time travel involved, where they have to go back, and then you can immediately place, like, this is a flashback because she's got the bun. I kind of enjoy that because I think the other hairstyle came in Year of Hell. So anything that has the bun, I'm like, oh yeah, I can place this in the first 3.5 seasons. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. There's like, but I mean, even the bun morph, there was like 3 or 4 just in the first season, right? Of like different kinds of hairstyles or at least different takes.
Well, I remember, I picked up the Voyager companion book, and I've watched, YouTube videos and behind the scenes stuff. And I think production had a really hard time deciding what to do with her hair. And there were lots of reshoots from Caretaker where they were deciding what her hairstyle was going to be. And then they settled on the bun, and the bun is a vibe.
Yeah, it is absolutely a vibe. Did you have an episode to highlight?
I mean, I guess it would be Caretaker too, because that's where, that's the first introduction.
But I like what you said, that every time they do a flashback, you immediately know, oh, she got the bun.
Yeah, it helps you place it right away.
Killer, what's your take on the
bun? I should actually pick Relativity because then you see both hairstyles.
Yes.
Let's do Relativity.
Okay. Who cares? Only me, because I keep track of all this shit. Claire, what's your take on the bun of the hair bun of steel? I love it.
I also love it, and I love that occasionally you'll see that, like, it's relaxed Janeway because a little bit of the bun is down in the back. She still has it, like, on top, but it's long in the back. Like, oh, she's relaxing, or she's in disguise, quote-unquote. Is she, though?
I always think of her hair Eye of the Needle when woken up in the middle of the night, and she's got the long, flowing hair, and she's talking to that Romulan.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just remember, like, all that goes into a bun? How does that even work? That's crazy. Okay, fantastic. First two picks. All right, I'm going to start with a big one that maybe a little on the nose. And I don't know, you guys might have something that kind of hits this category a little bit. But I'm going to go deep on my episode selection to balance out how big, how on the nose this pick is. Five words in a hashtag. Assimilated friends make Voyager home. Hashtag Borg vibes, and I love the Borg vibes on Voyager, and that's my number one pick, because I and the main reason I'm picking this, I hate the narrative that Voyager somehow desensitized us to the Borg. I hate it, because for me it was the opposite. I think they added so many cool layers of complexity and depth to the Borg, and really it started with my episode pick is Unity, because for me this is such a brilliant way to introduce the Borg onto this show. Completely underrated. A colony of aliens from all over the Alpha Quadrant in the middle of the Delta Quadrant, and they're recovering from being Borg, and they're using this mini collective to kind of survive and sometimes use it to get what they want. I love it. Super moody, super smart, intense episode, and a real clever way to relaunch the Borg. And from that point on, you know, that basically a few episodes later, you're introducing Seven of Nine on Voyager 2. So I love that. I love Dark Frontier, Unimatrix Zero, Collective. I mean, there's so much Scorpion. I almost forgot to say Scorpion. I mean, there's so many great Borg depths and episodes. That is my vibe. Borg vibes. Dom, what's your take on the Borg?
I love Borg. I'm so sorry. I love Borg vibes. I've always been a big fan of the Borg, and I can remember, is it Blood Fever, when they first tease it at the end of the episode? Because a lot of Voyager is very standalone, and when they did that tease at the end of Blood Fever, I was like, they're coming. And then from there with Seven of Nine and the Borg children, I'm all about the Borg vibes.
Yeah, I almost picked Blood Fever for that exact moment, because it was... Talk about a vibe. That was a brilliant way to say, hey, the Borg are coming. Claire, what's your take on the Borg vibes?
I'm really surprised to hear that people think Voyager sanitized.
Oh my God, I hear it all the time. It drives me crazy. They just made him like the villain of the week. What? No, they didn't.
No, they really explored the trauma of being a Borg.
Right.
That in a way that I don't think anyone had before or since until like Picard season one. I mean, you've got these like assimilated children trying to figure out how to be children and Borg and their adolescence. And there's like a surprising amount of depth, really, for an episodic TV show, as far as, you know, I'm shocked. Yeah. And this is a great choice. And also, what are those other people talking about?
Yeah. And by the way, all of that starts with unity, because
it's
such a cool community that they're all living together. They're all pretty harmonious. It's this little mini collective. But when they need something, they might just all combine and use their power to get you to do what they want.
But it's pretty understandable, you know?
Yeah, like it kind of is, yeah.
A positive for them out of a really negative experience that they have to live with.
But a nice allegory for whatever it's trying to say, but something ominous. Anyway, okay, let's go to round four. Claire, what's your round four Borg by the Voyager by?
All right. Five words are dials, gauges, switches, and buttons. Hashtag analog meets Borg. And it is the Delta Flyer's command console. With all the switches and dials and buttons on it.
God, I love this pick. I love it.
So the episode I'm picking is Extreme Risk. That's when we first see it. Yep. But it does, I think you kind of get better views of it in a few other episodes later. So I also watched Voyager as it aired, and I was deep in my like golden era sci-fi phase at the time. So that might be a little bit of why I've always thought that Voyager was drawing some intentional sort of storytelling parallels with 1930s, 40s, 50s pulp sci-fi, even before we get Captain Proton. But this is a like perfect little encapsulation of it. I will come back to my thoughts on that in a later pick. But also I want to flip all those switches. Like Tom Paris is absolutely right. Tuvok, I love you, but you are wrong to disparage putting all these switches and dials in. They are not useless design elements.
Yeah, he's like, they're all fully functional. I'm sick of tapping panels. I love it.
Yeah.
Dom, what's your take on the Delta Flyer and all the knobs and switches at Paris's pilot station? I love this.
I love this. This is a great pick. I've never, honestly, before you've said that, never given such specific thought to the actual control panel. I've always been like, yeah, I like the Delta Flyer, but I've never honed in and be like, oh, the Delta Flyer console, which I do love. I even love Star Trek Insurrection when Riker gets the sort of joystick to fly. Yes, I'm fine with it. And any kind of tactile interface like that, I'm totally cool with it.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, this pick, it's got that whole 50s sci-fi vibe to it too, Claire.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. All right, Dom, what is your number four pick?
Okay, my words are set holodeck parameters to insane. Hashtag hold my holodeck. Because I think Voyager's holodeck programs are a real vibe.
Yep.
You've got Sandrine's and the Paxow Resort and Janeway's Gothic novel and the Adventures of Flotta and Fairhaven and Da Vinci's and Captain Proton. And they are all so different and weird and disparate that, like, they're just their own vibe, I think, for me.
Oh my God. I was thinking about, like, holodeck malfunctions as a potential pick because, and then I was like, no, because it kind of happens in every series. So, but I didn't think to just narrow in on the actual programs. I mean, you just rattled off seven or eight that are just amazingly, and they're all disparate. It's fucking,
they're all so different and weird. Like the, like Vix in Deep Space Nine feels like it really ties in with the sort of mood of the show. And then like Elementary Dear Data and the programs that they used on TNG were like, oh yeah, that really sort of fits. But some of Voyager's choices are so weird, but I still love it. I love Fairhaven. I love Sandrine's. Sure. I like Twisted. Twisted, I think, was the first VHS episode I got of Voyager. And so I'm like, yeah, I like Sandrine. Everyone go to Sandrine's and let's get Twisted. And Captain Proton, I think Captain Proton fits in the best in terms of, you know, fitting Tom's personality.
Right.
But yeah, the rest are kind of all kinds of fun out there.
Claire, what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, the holodeck programs on TNG are all intellectual to some degree, you know, even though Dixon Hill is supposed to be this pulpy detective, there's still, you are still reading I don't know, there's something that does feel a little bit more academic to it. And then you've got all the Shakespeare and Sherlock Holmes. And but you're right though, the Voyager list is, they're all very different from each other, but they do share a vibe that I don't, like, I don't know what you'd call it, but it's just like a little bit goofy, a little bit weird. It's like the B-sides of the holodeck is what they got loaded or something.
That's perfect. It's a Voyager vibe. I love
that. Yeah.
Wait, what episode did you pick? You have to pick the one you pick is going to represent the holodeck program.
Oh, then I'm going to have to go with Twisted because that's the one that I threw out there.
Yes. Sandrine's. Sandrine's will come up in one of my picks. Okay, amazing. All right, I didn't think this was going to happen so early, but we have a duplicate, Claire, because my number four pick, five words in a hashtag, I'm tired of tapping panels, hashtag sci-fi vibe, and it is Extreme Risk. But mine's a little bit less about the tactile nature of the controls, although that's ultimately my pick.
Doesn't necessarily mean we'll have a hull breach. And if we do, I suppose these useless design elements from your Captain Proton scenario will compensate for the problem.
Hey, every one of these knobs and levers is fully functional.
And completely superfluous.
Maybe to you. I am tired of tapping panels. For once, I want controls that let me actually feel the ship I'm piloting.
It's that 20th century sci-fi vibe that runs all the way through Voyager. So all the references I was going to talk about was, you've got Bride of Chaotica. Obviously, that's the most prominent one. I'm a huge 1950s sci-fi fan. I love those old movies and stuff. So Bride of Chaotica, really at the front of that. But you've also got so many other moments. Like in Future's End, you've got Rainn Robinson and Tom Paris and talking about terrible B movies, Orgy of the Walking Dead and Bride of the Corpse. And then in season 7, in Repression, you've got Tom set up his movie theater and he's showing Creature from the Black Lagoon, which I actually found out is they actually show the sequel, Revenge of the Creature, Creature from the Black Lagoon. So, but my pick was going to be those tactile knobs and levers and switches, because that was such a great 50s sci-fi addition to something that, you know, is so advanced and cool, the Delta Flyer. So anyway, my pick, a little bit more sci-fi vibes, but basically a duplicate. Dom, any other thoughts on that one, that duplicate?
No, I love that. I love that. Any kind of tactile vibes. I actually, along with Twisted, if you don't mind me going back to Twisted, on the same VHS, I think, in the UK. It was Twisted and the episode called The 37s, where they find the old pickup truck in space. And then Tom Paris is getting in there and getting tactile with the truck and then being like, it operates on a key. and he just pulls down the visor. And anything fun and tactile like that is a good vibe.
So good. Yep. And that's another kind of 50s sci-fi element. And the 37s are going to come up in one of my picks, too.
That's weird, Jim, because they're going to come up in one of mine, too.
Oh, my God. Amazing. All right. Any final take on that 20th century sci-fi vibe, Claire?
It's going to come up again.
Okay. Fantastic. I got it. Okay. Voyager vibes is going along swimmingly. Let's go to the soup round.
Behold the primordial soup.
Claire, what's your round three pick?
All right, five words. Please believe we're bad guys. Hashtag ominous jewel tones. And I'm going with the Maquis uniforms.
Okay.
Which I know show up previously in TNG and DS9. I know the Maquis, we spend a lot of time with the Maquis in DS9, and they're like a genuinely threatening group. But I don't know if it's just the way this Voyager sets are lit, or if it's just the other Voyager vibes interacting with these vibes and creating a new vibe, but I just feel like these guys are running around Voyager and dressed like they own a crystal shop in Taos, New Mexico or something. Like they're going to take over the ship and put pure moods over the shipwide comms.
Oh my God.
I don't know. It's hard for me to take that seriously, but at the same time the show takes them seriously, so it's this kind of, like I said, there's like an earnestness to Voyager that I really enjoy, but it is sometimes a little like, you guys see the your bad guys wearing like a catcher's uniform puffy jacket thing and just like, I don't know, hard for me to take seriously sometimes, but at the same time, I love it and would never change a single thing about it.
So the Maquis, you're saying the Maquis uniforms are a vibe because they're goofy? They're, oh my God. Yeah. Well,
they are goofy.
I'm paraphrasing. I love this because the Maquis uniforms are definitely a vibe and they definitely stand out. I've never even thought that. I just think they're cool, man. I would totally rock one of those.
I mean, some of them are cool, but
Dom, what's your take on the Maquis outfits?
I have honestly never given it all that much thought. Because I think I got gently introduced to the Maquis in TNG,
right,
and then I saw Voyager before I ever saw Deep Space Nine. So Voyager was sort of my main, you know, with the title scroll on Caretaker was the main introduction to the Maquis for me. And then because they didn't last so long, because by the end of Caretaker, everyone was in a Starfleet uniform, I never really paid too much attention. But now when I do a rewatch, I'm definitely going to.
Yeah, I mean, I this is a fascinating pick because I never would have thought that. I never think, I think they look badass. I don't know why, but I don't know fashion. So,
well, I don't either really, but I'm picking Repression 704.
Oh yeah.
For my choice, just because it does include Ayala in the,
yes. Cause he's got that, the real
he's
puffy.
He's got this like puffy, like
real puffy. Yeah.
It's like a catcher's vest / flotation device. thing,
amazing.
But it's also brown and dirty, and like, why is it dirty? You're on a spaceship. I don't know.
I mean, Fatem, I was gonna try and say that. What's the phrase? And Fatem Por Fentani. We've got two mentions of oppression already in this episode. That is, I don't think we've had two in 155 previous episodes. Fatem, I can't think of what that pejorative phrase is. All right. Anyway, everyone's laughing at me right now. Dom, what's your number three pick?
Okay. Got a little bit of a repeat here. I'll say these five words, and you have to imagine it that it's Alice Krieg whispering in Data's ears. don't be tempted by nanoprobes. Hashtag, you get a nanoprobe, you get a nanoprobe, you get a nanoprobe, you get a nanoprobe. And it's Borg vibes.
I love it.
Yeah. because I love the Borg.
Yep.
And again, like, just going into the lore of how the Borg operated and getting a look into Unimatrix Zero and the Hub and all of this stuff and exploring through Seven of Nine, I love the Borg. And I didn't feel like they became desensitized or declawed. I feel like they sort of remained a pretty solid threat through to the end.
Yeah.
My episode pick for this is Scorpion Part 2, when the Doctor is so happy that he's been dissecting the Borg corpse and he can use nanoprobes to help Ensign Kim.
Oh, that's right. Scorpion's just all-time great Star Trek, to say the least.
I just think I chose nanoprobes in particular because it sort of opened a whole lot of storytelling. I think, you know, with them interfacing with the mobile emitter in Drone, and then with the way that they were used with Neelix in Mortal Coil, I think I just opened up a whole bunch of stories in a real cool, unique way.
Yeah, I was going to mention Drone. I mean, there's so many, and there's so many other things to do
Is it Raven? Is that the episode?
Oh, God, I love Raven.
Seven as a child, right?
Oh my God.
I mean, is such an ominous episode because, like, we know this is all going to go terribly wrong. But I remember being really affected watching that when it first aired. Like, no, turn around. You think you can successfully kind of study these creatures and they're not going to turn on you, and they are absolutely going to turn on you, and like, we know that they're gonna get your kid, and that's a lot of anxiety watching that episode.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, and you jumped to it, because that's Dark Frontier, but Raven is Raven's like the prequel to it, and it's amazing the way the narrative of the Raven and Dark Frontier is basically like a, you know, almost a three-parter. I love it. The Borg, I mean, hopefully people tell me I'm wrong, and nobody thinks Voyager desensitized the Borg, but man, I remember hearing that a lot. God, so annoying. Okay, enough of that. Awesome pick. Oh, what? And you picked Scorpion Part 2. Got it. Okay. Let's close out round three with my pick. Five words and a hashtag. Dreams of the Alpha Quadrant. Hashtag home vibes. And it's this one's kind of nebulous. It's just the home vibes of Voyager across seven seasons and all the intersections with the Alpha Quadrant, and the fact that Voyager was kind of like a home base for them more than any other ship. You know, it's their home, it's their found family. And I always loved that element to it, but I always loved any time there was like something with the Alpha Quadrant popping up on Voyager, from Eye of the Needle to the 37s with Amelia Earhart. It's one of my faves. I mean, there's so many False Prophets, Distant Origin, the Alpha Quadrant, Dinosaurs, One Small Step, Message in a Bottle, Prophecy with the Klingons showing up, Friendship One, Pathfinder. I just kind of rattled them all off. My pick is Endgame, of course, because it had it all. It's got the alternate future, a push from alternate Janeway to basically cancel everything they did to make sure her younger self gets her crew home intact. And I just think that's really emblematic of the way the Alpha Quadrant was always kind of there for them as this goal and something that they wanted to achieve and accomplish and get to. And I just loved all those. Every time the Alpha Quadrant came up, I was into it.
I think that kind of ties into why kind of the goofy hollow programs like Sandrine's and Fairhaven. Right. Are so exciting for the crew. They don't see them as goofy. They're like, I don't care. It is home. It's Earth. Yeah. It might be silly, but it's the best we've gotten. They're so starved for that. They'll take anything.
Yeah. I mean, the holodeck represents something completely different for the Voyager crew. I remember somebody said that on one of our previous episodes, and I was like, oh God, I never even thought about that. It's totally different for the Voyager crew going to the hologram, going to the holodeck. Dom, what's your take?
I love it. I think my favorite Earth-centric or getting back to Earth episode is Future's End. You know, when they get there and they're like, oh, right place, wrong time.
Yeah.
And it's always, it's one of my favorite episodes. Anytime I go down to, because I live in Los Angeles now, so anytime I go down to the Santa Monica Pier or Griffith Observatory, I'm like, oh, this is like Future Zen from Star Trek Voyager. So that's very much a vibe for me.
It is impossible not to walk around either one of those places and not be like, my God, it's exactly what where they were walking around. Okay, let's go to round two. Claire, what's your number two pick?
All right. My five words are all tables are cool kid tables. That's six words, but I put a hyphen between cool and kid, so I made it five. Hashtag lunch lady Neelix. I'm going with the mess hall.
Oh, yes. Oh, this is so good. Of course. The mess hall is a total vibe for them. More right. than 10 forward and more than, right. than kind of any of those other similar locations.
Right, because like we don't really ever – there is no – there might be a mess hall on the Enterprise D, but we never see it. The promenade on DS9 is cool and dark. You might get mugged there and you will be kind of excited about it because then you can tell your friends, I got mugged on DS9. like, it's cool. Mess hall, though, on Voyager is brightly lit. It's not, there's no like comfortable area to hang out. It's really a cafeteria. But the Voyager's crew, like, they hang out there anyway. I mean, yeah, they go to Sandrine's and stuff, but you see them spending so much time in the mess hall just because it's where their friends and family are. And it's not cool, but it sort of becomes cool by osmosis or something. I just think it has, like, it doesn't have hangout vibes, but it is still a hangout space. I don't know. The episode that I am choosing to for this is Real Life 322. It's not really a mess hall episode, but it's got that really great moment with Tom griping about the food that Neelix is making because he's making the same thing every day. And then awkwardly flirting with B'Elanna while she reads her Klingon romance novel. And it just feels so middle school to me, but it's like perfect.
Oh my God. I'm going to have to rewatch Real Life for the mess hall scene because that's not why you watch Real Life.
But... No, but also B'Elanna has the braid in her hair that is like her
best. Oh, well, ever. I will watch any episode with B'Elanna with the braid in her hair. Oh my God. Dom, what's your take? I love this pick. This is so awesome.
I love this pick too. I haven't given thought just to the mess hall specifically, but one of my runner up choices was going to be Bad Cooking and Neelix's Kitchen as a vibe. Which then also bled into Bad Cooking in general with Janeway not being able to use the replicator. And then when you mentioned the mess hall, I was like, oh yeah, I guess the replicator did have attitude with Tom Paris in Caretaker when it was talking about tomato soup. But now just thinking of the mess hall as a whole, then I guess I would think of Year of Hell when they used it as a triage.
Yeah.
Or, oh, what's the, I can't think, was it, it's not Demon.
The goopy, the fall through and they get married. Yeah.
Yes. What was that one? Then the confetti sort of falls through the deck of the mess hall. Yes. Is that Demon?
So that's,
Demon's where it's first introduced.
No, Demon's where they were introduced. Yeah. It's it's Course. It's Oblivion. Course Oblivion. Yes, Course
Oblivion. Yeah, we got it.
Yes, we got it. I just love the idea of it being kind of like a, it's kind of like a 7-Eleven parking lot where they're just because they have to kind of hang out there.
Yeah, and, it's not that it's cool. It's just the only place you've got.
Yeah, and it serves cool. another. Yeah, I love it. It's a really good pick. And it's very different than it's perfect, unique vibe for Voyager compared to other ships. Okay, Dom, what's your number two?
Okay. My number two is I can't get a lock. Hashtag some kind of interference. I can't get a lock. Because I think more than any other Star Trek show, and I love
I'm already dying. I have to preface this
because Voyager is my favorite, but the amount of times that they can't get a lock or they can't get a reading is a vibe for me to the point where I'd be like, you can just let that ship go. You're not going to get a lock. It's okay. Yeah. They're gone. don't worry about it. But I love it. I love it. My episode choice for this is Hope and Fear. When they're trying to scan like the Borg drive and they can't scan the interior. And I also, it's one of my favorite episodes. Also Borg vibes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just, you know, bless Ensign Harry Kim. He can just never get a lock.
He can't get a lock. I was about to say that a smash cut of Harry Kim not being able to get a lock is absolutely.
That's why he never got a promotion. They just can't get a lock. Yeah, they count the times you can't get a lock.
And then there's an episode, I can't remember what it is. Maybe you guys can help me out, where B'Elanna comes onto the bridge and they're trying to transport someone, and she just off the top of her head, she's like, "Oh, I've got a skeletal lock."
I just came up with it. Skeletal lock, boom. I'm pretty sure that's Scorpion. When she gets
Harry back.
Yeah, she beams Harry out of
maybe the she should ship. Have stayed at Ops.
I don't know. I will look it up later to see if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was Scorpion. Oh my god. I'm going to have to do a smash cut of Harry Kim saying he can't get a lock now. God damn.
Yes, please.
It's going to add to my editing. This is why we're doing the show, people, because I was hoping there'd be picks like this. It is such a Voyager vibe. Can't get a lock.
Harry?
As long as they're in the control room, I can't get a lock.
Janeway to away team, get those maneuvering thrusters offline. Then get out of the contaminated area. We can't get a transporter lock on you.
The chamber is too heavily shielded. I can't get a lock on her.
Can we beam into one of these adjoining corridors?
I'm isolating their biosignatures.
Get a lock.
I still can't penetrate their inner shields.
Captain, I can't get a lock on you.
The weapons fire from the array has irradiated the planet's crust.
The transport sensors can't find the breaches in the security barrier.
Beam them out of here.
I can't get a lock. They've adapted to our transport frequencies.
Computer freeze program, both holodecks.
A dispersal field just activated around the chamber you're in. We can't get a lock.
Can you get him out of there?
The dampening field is disrupting our transporter signal. I can't get a lock on him.
Red alert.
Damn!
What is it?
B'Elanna's erected a force field. I can't get a lock on the generator.
Try overriding the command codes.
Range 40,000 kilometers.
Harry?
Too much shielding around the central plexus. I can't get a lock.
Stay on it. Closer.
Activate the transporter. Try to get a lock on whatever's inside it.
Tranquilizer isn't picking up anything.
But I can feel it.
I can't get a lock. It's like something's there, but it's not there.
The implants in Seven's body are disrupting the transporter signal. I can't get a lock.
See if you can remodulate our transporters to match her shields.
Try to beam her out.
She's done something to alter her biosignature. I can't get a lock.
Target her propulsion and weapons.
A force field went up around the habitat. We can't get a lock on him.
Has your vessel been detected?
I don't think so.
Evasive maneuvers. Harry?
Still can't get a lock.
Should I get us out of here before they knock out our propulsion?
Not yet. If we can't beam her out...
Transport her back now, Mr. Kim.
I can't get a lock on her.
They have erected some sort of subspace defense...
They've reduced power to their force fields. I've got two life signs in there, Seven and a Hirogen. But I can't get an individual lock.
Transport them both if you have to. Tom!
Aye, sir. It's interfering with the transporter.
Captain, we can't get a lock.
Acknowledged. Emergency transport. Get them out of there now.
I can't get a lock.
Energize.
I can't get a lock on them.
What's the problem?
It looks like bioelectric interference from whatever's coming toward them.
It's within 7 meters. Let's get out of here.
Narrow the confinement beam.
No effect. I'm gonna try a skeletal lock.
A what?
I think I can get a clean lock on the minerals in their bone tissue. I just came up with it, but I think it might work.
I've got them. A skeletal lock, huh? We'll have to add that one to the transporter manual.
It's great. It's like, each show kind of has a couple pieces of technobabble that they kind of just grab onto and continue to use, and they probably don't realize they're recycling it quite as often as they are. But like, we're obsessive and we watch these shows over and over, right. And they start to stick in our head. And yeah, that is absolutely Voyagers.
every show does have an element like that, or two, or maybe more. We love it. Fantastic pick. Okay. Let's go to my round two. This one. Oh, this is my Sandrine's pick. Here we go. 5 words and a hashtag. Call a safety, Mr. Vulcan. Hashtag Tuvok vibes. And this one is Vulcan vibes. It's all most notably Tuvok. And it's just Tuvok rules. And Tuvok's vibe as the straight man through all the way through Voyager is my pick. And partially more so than just picking a character as part of Vibes, but the fact that he's the first real full 100% Vulcan that we're seeing this much of is really, really cool for me. So from Blood Fever to Gravity and Riddles, I just love all his Vulcanness, and having him as the straight man and giving and taking as much as anyone on the ship. I love it. And for my moment, it's just, for me, it's the perfect Tuvok moment. It kind of subverts your expectations of the super smooth Vulcan. My episode is Jatrell, and they're playing a pool at Sandrine's, and Tuvok is thinking, I've got this game all figured out. He steps up cool as a cucumber. He calls his shot.
Call your shot. Logic would dictate that if I strike the cue ball properly, it will deflect first off the rear bumper, then the side, striking the 11 ball and causing it to roll directly into the corner pocket.
This I have to see.
Perhaps the ship's stabilizers are not operating at peak efficiency.
Yeah, and maybe Tom Terrific over here forgot to tell you that Sandrin's table rolls a little to the east.
You should have called a safety.
And then he hits the ball and it scratches. And I just love it. And he says, perhaps the ship stabilizers are not operating at peak efficiency. Perfect. Deadpan Tuvok. He is a vibe for Voyager for me. Dom, what's your take on Tuvok?
Oh, I love it. They did a really good job of, you know, not making, I think there's a danger with characters like that that could become one dimensional, right. But they did a really good job of his sort of tender relationship that he has with Janeway, and then his sort of mentoring relationship that he had with Kes, and then the sort of way they played off Neelix with him really brought out sort of this full color spectrum of who he is. So at first it took me a while to warm up to Tuvok. The end I was like, yeah, Tuvok.
Yeah. I liked it because what you said is so true, but there was also this continuity through it where he was never like betrayed his character either way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He didn't become a different character if the story needed him to act differently around different people.
Right. Yeah, there was always a baseline for, and he could be a straight man, he could be funny, but he could also be serious. Any other take there, Claire?
Oh, I'm really glad you included Tuvok. He's on my secondary systems, so yay.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he reliably, you put him in a scene against anybody, and the scene will be elevated in some way. Something is going to be better about that scene just because he's there. Even if he's just standing in the background, not doing anything. Like, there are these subtle little expressions that he does. He really channels that element of Nimoy's Spock. And I've always thought that Vulcans have got to be the hardest to cast.
Yep.
And Tim Russ is just perfect as a Vulcan.
That is exactly my take. I love it. Okay, let's go to round one.
Begin round one.
Claire, what's your top Voyager vibe?
All right. My five words are, also, this is six words. retro in more ways than one, #, pulp with heart. And this is finding Amelia Earhart in space in the 37.
God, so good.
So like I said before, there's something kind of old-fashioned about Voyager to me as far as the kind of science fiction stories that it tells. And in my opinion, this is a story from start to finish that could have been in any 1940s pulp. Just, word for word. Finding, you know, let's solve the mystery of Amelia Earhart and have it be that she was abducted by aliens. And we're on a spaceship and we find this old junker truck floating in space. And Amelia Earhart's been frozen. And there are these, you know, evolved human, you know, people who, what, the whole thing is just preposterous.
And the person that finds him's a woman that followed in her footsteps.
Yes. But it's not a silly episode at all. And that is like the ultimate Voyager vibe, which is there's something in fan fiction called crack treated seriously. And it's when you take a really goofy idea, but you treat it seriously. And if you do it right, you can get some really good stories out of that. And I feel like Voyager does that very well. They'll kind of tackle any story but they're good at bringing that sincerity to it and just being like, let's see what happens if we have this goofy premise. And even when it doesn't totally work out, like Threshold, I'm sorry, the first three acts of Threshold are good.
Yeah.
Threshold's got a lot of really good stuff in it. And that's kind of an example of like, it doesn't always work, but I love that Voyager always tries.
Nailed it. Yes. This is the perfect example of that. 37's, you know, when you just kind of talk it through, it's like, what, really? That's an episode? Yeah. It sounds preposterous, but it's got so much heart and it's so fun. I love this. I need to go back to your fan fiction thing because I know nothing about it. Did you say crap or crack?
Mm-mm. Crack. C-R-A-C-K.
Okay. All right. I just needed to know that. Dom, what is your take on the 37s and Amelia Earhart as awesome pulp?
Yeah, I love it. Like I mentioned this episode earlier on, it was on the first VHS of Voyager that I got.
Oh, right.
And it's the first time that the ship lands. It's the first time we see them land on a planet, which is really exciting. I think the video cover was actually Voyager sort of landed on the planet.
Yeah.
And I always thought that Amelia Earhart would have been a really great holodeck program for Janeway. Like this sort of pioneer woman who was sort of defying all the odds and people telling her that she couldn't fly across the Atlantic. So I think it was great that at some point in Voyager with a female captain that they had her as a character popping up. The 37s have a special place in my heart because it was my first Voyager VHS.
It's a fun episode and it is total Voyager vibe, that episode, man. You nailed it, Claire. I love it. Okay, Dom, what is your number one Voyager vibe?
Okay. Again, I have to preface that I love Voyager with all my heart.
I mean, you didn't need to preface that on your Can't Get a Lock pick, because that's glorious.
This pick is how many shuttles? Oh, lots. Yeah. Hashtag launch shuttle 66. I know that there's a lot of Voyager fans that, and I see both sides, that would have wanted Voyager to sort of be falling apart and running out of resources. And I actually don't mind. I can switch my brain off when I watch Voyager and they use shuttles and it gets exploded in an atmosphere or doing something else. And it never bugged me that, like, oh yeah, they got an unlimited supply of shuttles. Okay, I'm with it. And I guess, you know, things changed once the Delta Flyer came along because they used that more often than not. But
that one blew up and they just built another one.
Yeah, you know, unlimited shuttles is a vibe and it's a very Voyager vibe.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you picked this because it is. That's the show, right? That's the show.
Yeah.
If what you're wanting or asking for, that's a different show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it would be something completely different. And by the way,
that's Battlestar Galactica.
Exactly.
This is Voyager.
Exactly. And that's what the show is. And it's also a product of its time. That's just not TV that was made in the late 90s, mid 90s. Uh-huh. Just didn't exist. So, all right, what episode did you pick?
I think I picked The Gift because it's the one where Kes is like, I'm going, and they give her a shuttle and it just sort of vanishes with it. I'm like, oh, there goes that shuttle. But I think Tuvok crashes one in Innocence. And then
The Gift is perfect. The Gift morphs with her, right? The shuttle just morphs with her.
It vanishes into space with her. They're just like, take a shuttle. And she's like, all right, I'm going to take it.
She immediately,
she just immediately takes it.
Yeah.
This is so good. Claire, any take on unlimited shuttles as a vibe?
I love it. And I completely understand what you mean when you say, like, trust me, I do love Voyager. This is not a nitpick.
Of course.
It's just,
it's the show.
You're noticing something, but that's not bad. Becomes endearing. You end up sort of liking that about it.
Yeah. I thought about a way to try to work this into my picks, and then I was like, I just couldn't quite make it work, but that is absolutely perfect. Unlimited shuttles as a vibe. Okay, and The Gift. Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, let's close it out with my number one pick. Five words in a hashtag. get the cheese to sick bay, hashtag yes. gel pack vibes.
Yes.
And of course, it is the bioneural gel packs. I love me some bioneural gel packs. Yes. I love thinking back to how cool they were in 1995 when Voyager launched and we're seeing this brand new ship introduced. And it's, you know, it's like the first time, other than a ship named Enterprise, the first time we're really seeing a new ship as part of a show. And it was that was an amazing moment to just kind of be to learn about it and get to see pictures of it at the time. I just loved that in my thinking back in my fandom. And the gel packs, when they talked about those, like, what? They got gel packs? They what do? They're like help store and process information, and there's gel in them. And just, it was just the coolest thing. I love it. And they kept it consistent all the way through the show. It was like they're like part of the computer processing, right? That's how they process yeah. more information faster. And you see it in Learning Curve, which is my pick, get the cheese to sick bay. And you see them, they get sick. So in Learning Curve and Macrocosm, the gel packs get sick. In One, they get radiation poisoning. And I don't know, they're just all over the place. They used them in Shattered as part of like the temporal fix to reset the ship. They did something with the gel packs. So I love me some gel packs. Claire, what's your take on gel packs?
I mean, it's a great pick. It is absolutely one of those, like, they were in the writer's room going, okay, it's a new ship. We need to have like a new thing. And they're like, gel packs, okay. And then, yeah, they did kind of get stuck with those for better or worse for the next 7 years.
Did you just say they got stuck with them, Claire?
Well, no,
they did not get stuck with them.
You're right. I apologize. I apologize to the gel packs and the gel packs father. I think the whatever made them decide that was going to be like a cool, legitimate future trend in technology, that, you know, Wired article that they read might have expired, gotten a little stale kind of quickly, you know, like how a couple of years on, it might've been one of those, like, okay, we would have chosen something else if we'd known, but,
the joke's on you, Claire. Gel pack technology is still coming in the future.
They have Tide Pods integrated.
There you go. See, Tide Pods. Dom, what's your take on gel packs?
I love it. I'm all about it. I remember, In Caretaker, when Study is flying the shuttle and, you know, the theme plays yeah. and she gives the rundown of like bioneurocircuitry,
oh, that's right. Yes.
Sustainable warp velocity of 9.975. And just feeling like, oh yeah, it felt big and epic. And then Macrocosm is one of my favorite episodes too. And Janeway does do something different with her hair as she's running around right. yeah. the ship. So, yeah, I think this is a great pick.
And her shirt. And that was Dominic Burgess, everyone, just dropping Stotty into the conversation like it was no big deal.
Yeah.
The shuttle pilot and Caretaker. Fantastic. Yeah. Amazing. I love these vibes. Okay, let's get into some secondary systems picks. Claire, anything that just missed your list?
Let's see what you can do with the secondary systems.
I got two that I left off because I knew you would be like, Claire, that's not what I mean.
I would never do that.
The first one is the Voyager documentary, getting really into the Leola root magnet as a selling point for funding it. I say this as someone with a Leola root magnet proudly on my refrigerator.
And I'm hearing that as Leola root is a vibe, and that is a good vibe.
It is, but it's also just like, just, I don't know, there's something, again, it's something
I love really
sincere about them being like, this will make people want to.
Claire, that's not a vibe.
My other one is just the Voyager 6 spacecraft at the heart of V'ger in the motion picture, which is not what you were looking for, so I didn't choose it.
But that would have been a good itself. That's a good outside the box, I mean, pick. I like
Voyager.
That. Yeah, there
it's
you go.
Vibe. I love it. It's also a vibe that in this version of the future, they funded the Voyager program so thoroughly that they could launch at least 4 additional spacecraft. So thank you.
That's fantastic. Okay, Dominic, anything that just missed your list?
Yes, I mentioned it. Bad cooking was going to be one of my vibes.
That's a really good one.
I just still don't understand how Janeway could burn food in a replicator, but that's okay. It's a vibe. And then my other one, and I quickly put this to the side because I don't think it's fair, was going to be salamanders. And yeah. again, like, you know, Claire was saying – that episode gets harped on so much, but it's a good body horror episode.
It's a really good
episode that, you know, does it go off the rails in the last 3 minutes? Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah. But like, it's a good episode. And I know that everyone harps on the end of that episode. So I was like, no, I don't want to go there.
We always pretty much say when the tongue comes out, the episode goes off the rails. So
is that a well-known saying in the Morehouse?
No, that is not. It is you've heard it on Trek Ranks maybe once before. Okay. It's one of those episodes too that if you're not making 26 episodes a year, which is one every 2 weeks, you take a few more passes on that in the writer's room, it probably is really successful at the end. But anyway, definitely worth having in Voyager's history. Okay, I had a few more coffee in that nebula. That's a good vibe. Mm-hmm. Nebulas and distortions all over the place. I didn't pick that because that's kind of a Star Trek vibe more than just Voyager. Same with time travel shenanigans, but I wanted to they did Year of Hell and Future's End in the space of 1 year on Voyager. I mean, come on, that is such a high level. And then my special shout out, this is definitely a vibe, Neelix and Kes. That is a vibe.
It is a vibe. That's true.
It's a vibe of some sort. Okay, we're not going to get into that. That is another show. Fun topic. I knew it would be. Let's get into our regeneration cycle and quickly recap our picks.
Computer, activate regeneration cycle. Alcoves beta and gamma.
Okay, Claire, break it down. Run down your five vibes.
All right. My five vibes were, number five, the corn on the cob and caretaker. number four is the Delta Flyers pilot console. Number three are the Maquis uniforms. Number two is the mess hall. And number one is just the entire concept of them finding Amelia Earhart in a frozen cryo tube on another planet.
A beautiful vibe. Dom, break down your five.
Yes, my vibes are number five, it's Janeway's bun. Number four is the insane holodeck programs like Sandrine's Paxow, Janeway's Gothic novel, Flotta, Fairhaven, Da Vinci. Number
please
three,
keep listing them off. I'm getting such a vibe just hearing them.
Is nanoprobes everywhere, which I think is a very good vibe. Number two is I can't get a lock, and not getting a lock is a real vibe. And my number one Voyager vibe is lots and lots of shuttlecrafts.
Unlimited shuttlecrafts. Brilliant. Okay, my five were the Borg vibe from my episode with Unity. My number four pick from Extreme Risk, same with Claire's, was the knobs and levers and that 50s sci-fi flair. My number three pick was Home vibes and Endgame and all the Alpha Quadrant references throughout the show. My number two was the Vulcan vibe and Tuvok, and I picked Jatrell for that episode. And my number one from Learning Curve, gel-packed vibes from Voyager. Okay, the only stats, but we had two duplicates, so that kind of makes sense. Although one of them I would have guessed Borg, and the other one with the Delta Flyer console. That's a good deep cut duplicate. I like it.
Yeah.
All right, so we broke that by season. Yeah, this is kind of interesting. I think so. We had season four and six each had one, season five, two, right in the middle. Let's just put it this way. The leaders were season one and season seven with three each. And I can kind of see, especially season one, getting some. That's a good vibe launching point for Voyager. So that's our only breakdown of the stats. And now we're going to initiate a temporal inversion because it's time to hear from you.
Initiate temporal inversion.
Initiating.
And for this week's temporal inversion, we are finally going to start catching up on a backlog of some of the many great voicemails we've received in the past 6 months or so. Tonight, we're going back to episode 142, and this is an awesome list. It's our top five Uhura episodes, remembering Nichelle Nichols. We got a spectacular moving list from Adam Sanders, who is on Twitter, at MetsFan1701. He's been on the show before. We need to get him on again. This list is so good, so I'm going to play that right now.
Hi, this is Adam Sanders, MetsFan1701 on Twitter. I'm calling with my top five Uhura moments or episodes. Number five words. Amazing actress makes it possible. Hashtag, this is my headcanon. And this is Voyager, Season 6, Episode 8, One Small Step. In my headcanon, an amazing actress named Michelle Nichols, who was on a TV show in the 60s and movies in the 70s, went to NASA and said, let's make minorities and women possible in NASA. And astronauts like Lieutenant John Kelly and his Mars mission are possible because of her. Number four, five words, here for the next generation. Hashtag, a beautiful tribute. And this is Prodigy, Kobayashi, Season 1, Episode 6. I watched it for the 100th time right after she passed. And it's a beautiful tribute not only to her, but also to Leonard Nimoy and James Doohan and Renee. And Gates was wonderful in the episode as well. Number three, five words, do not mess with her. Hashtag power and beauty. And this is the original series, Season 2, Episode 4, Mirror, Mirror. What else can be said about this episode that you guys haven't already said? She is just amazing in it. Number two, five words, only person for the job. Hashtag, thanks, Hemmer. And this is TOS Season 2, Episode 2, Humor, Trout, and I. The fact that an African-American woman on TV in that time was able to do what she did, and this episode shows that she's the only person for the job, is stunning for the time, and we have to thank her and the writers for letting it happen that way. And number one, five words, is about damn time. Hashtag finally in the big chair. And it's the animated series, Season 1, Episode 4, The Lorelei Signal. She gets to finally sit in the captain's chair where she belongs. And my word to describe Michelle Nichols is eternal. Thank you for this episode, and thank you, Michelle.
All right, just a great list. His first pick was super appropriate for the topic tonight. He picked One Small Step and Michelle Nichols' presence in creating opportunities for astronauts like John Kelly, who One Small Step from that great Voyager episode and the Ares missions to Mars. I love that pick. And his his one word for Michelle Nichols, eternal, was beautiful. I love that. So once again, those picks, more than enough to clear ourselves from this week's temporal inversion. So as always, I want to thank everyone for all your great responses to the Trek Ranks podcast. Keep your list coming to me at Trek Ranks on Twitter so we can retweet them. But we also want to hear from you. So put together your own list of top five Voyager vibes or a list from any of our past shows. Give us a call at the Tricorder Transmissions at 609-512-5527. Or you can just record it and send me a DM and we can connect that way too. So hopefully we'll hear from you so you can be featured on the next episode of Trek Ranks. And on the next episode of Trek Ranks, we are almost there. We are breaking down the latest greatest season of Star Trek Picard. We're doing our top five Picard season three moments. Holy crap, what a season. So much to choose from. So, Claire and Dominic. Dominic, I'm going to assume you're caught up on season three. Holy crap. If you had to choose one element or episode or performance or just anything from Picard season three, what would you guys pick? Claire, I'm going to give it to you.
It's got to be Shaw in the 10 yeah. forward holodeck scene, just explaining himself and his yeah. whole beef with Picard and that line of yeah. the only Borg so dangerous they gave you a goddamn name.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the season right there.
Captain Shaw is amazing. Todd Stashwick, incredible character performance. Dominic, how about you? What's your what would you highlight so far?
My
six episodes.
Favorite so far, and I know I'm a Voyager fan, la la la.
Yeah.
But Seven talking about Voyager and the theme playing and her talking about that was her family and this ship went out further than any of those other relics. And just that 1 minute and 30 seconds made me teary-eyed and weepy. And yeah, that for me, I know it's a Picard show, so I should pick something TNG.
No way.
I'm sure that once all the TNG cast are together on the bridge, that I will have a moment of, oh, here we go.
Right.
But that's it for me so far.
No, that's a great choice too.
That one, that is as emotional as it gets. So incredible. I cannot wait to break that all down. So that's our next one. Looking forward to that.
Channel closed. Reset. Subspace communication. Scrambler code Riker 1.
All right. Scrambler code Riker 1 acknowledged. Okay. We're going to close this episode out with a huge thanks to Claire Little and Dominic Burgess. It was awesome having you guys both on. Any Trek scrambler codes? Either one you want to relay before we depart? Claire.
I have nothing to promote.
Just say thanks for having me. Goodbye.
Thanks for having me, Jim. Goodbye.
All right. Dominic, thanks for making time to come on the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And I'm getting my Voyager documentary updates, and I'm looking forward to the Voyager documentary.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait. I guess it's looking like next year. So, yeah. I'm just trying. I'm not worried about how long it's going to take, because I know it's going to be fantastic when it finally drops.
We got our Leola Root Magnet.
And we got our Leola Root Magnet. I need to, mine is in a drawer somewhere. I need to put it on my fridge. What am I doing? All right. Thanks, everyone, for engaging with us here again on episode 155 of the Trek Ranks podcast. As always, I want to close by saying I'm looking forward to standing with you again here in this place where I belong.
Miss Earhart, I want you to know you've always been an inspiration to me. Because of you, generations of women have become pilots.
Generations. What's your name?
Catherine Janeway.
I heard the commander call you Captain. What exactly do you captain?
The Federation Starship Voyager.
Starship? That's supposed to mean it flies through space.
That's right.
That isn't possible. Only in books. H.G. Wells, Jules Verne.
Maybe if you saw it, you'd think otherwise.
Just want to remind everyone again that the entire Trek Ranks catalog is available for you to download and listen to at TrekRanks.com and on your podcast player of choice. Our episodes never get carbon dated, so check out the topics you've missed and maybe just want to listen to again over at TrekRanks.com. And a reminder to check out our friends 5-Year Mission at 5YearMission.net. They're writing a song for every episode of Star Trek, and you won't believe how great their music is. They also have a podcast at the Trek Geeks Network, so seek them out. You won't regret it.
Must have traveled through that intake and then into the ventilation system,
where they were disseminated throughout the ship, subsequently infecting the bioneural circuitry.
I feel awful about this. I assure you, I had no idea.
More gel packs must be down. If this is getting to the environmental systems, we may be in more trouble than we thought. Neelix, this wasn't your fault. The important thing is that we found the source. Get the cheese to sickbay. The doctor should look at it as soon as possible.
Yes, Lieutenant.